On this episode of Atomic Moms, we're in my house. Yeah, my house. Everybody hanging out here. It's Ellie and I today, just the two of us. We're talking about some pretty heavy stuff.
And awesome stuff.
Yeah, we talk about addiction.
Vegas.
Vegas, baby. And some...
Ooh, and we answer some questions from our listeners. It's a really great podcast. Listen, subscribe, comment on iTunes. Ask us more questions on Facebook.
Do it. Hey guys.
Hi.
It's Atomic Moms.
We're in Venice, California.
Yeah, Venice Beach, the world famous Venice Beach.
We're in Bianca's living room.
Exactly. It's kind of funny doing this.
I feel like I'm in Elle Decor. Like I have immersed myself into the magazine right now.
Oh, that's nice of you to say. I feel funny because we're sitting across from each other.
I love it.
And we're always like, what is it, kitty corner when we sit at the studio? So like this feels very like we're very intensely connected with each other.
Ooh.
How are you?
I'm really seeing you. I've had this sinus infection for like 3 weeks now. It's driving me nuts. I've been on antibiotics forever. So I'm apologizing about my voice, but
I think you sound
I'm not
great.
Contagious in any way, but it's frustrating. I talked to my therapist about it actually.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I am a hypochondriac and I don't want to be that way anymore because it makes me a not very nice person.
Right.
Because I kind of like freeze out anyone who looks remotely ill because I'm like, oh, don't get me sick. And she's like, what would happen, Ellie, if you got sick? Like what's, you know, you're sick right now. Like what's, you know, what's the worst that happens?
And right.
I'm like, I have to slow down. And then I realized that's my big fear, slowing down, which I haven't, which is probably why I still have this thing.
Of course. I feel like that's therapist 101. I feel like that's like the first like tool that they teach them when they go to
graduate school
is like when somebody says something, you have to ask them what's the worst that could happen. Because I've got that asked almost in every therapy session. A different therapist I've been to, but because I've been to a lot.
But yeah, I mean, it works because then you're like, okay, it's not that bad. Like worst thing that happens is you feel like crap or your kid, you know, you don't sleep, whatever.
Yeah.
It's not that bad. It's just, I don't like the way it sounds in the mucus. Anyway, but you just got back from Vegas. I'm going to switch over to something super sexy. Vegas. We're going from Ellie's mucus to Bianca's Vegas.
We went to Vegas. So Michael has a friend. His name is Jason Ellis. He has his own Sirius radio show. The Ellis Show, Jason Ellis Show. And Michael goes on that show a lot. And Jason comes on Loveline. And he and Dr. Drew are really close. And Jason is a crazy man. The best kind of crazy man. He's like, used to be a pro skater. And then he was a MMA fighter for a while. And every year he throws this thing called Ellis Mania in Vegas. And it's basically like fights, but they're crazy fights. Like, two fat guys fought each other and the winner got to get a year of free personal training.
What?
And then like two girls, this was really crazy. Two
girls. I feel like the loser should get the personal training because he's fat and weak.
I feel like they both should just for being good sports and participating. But Michael fought.
No.
And, yeah.
No,
and
he didn't.
Jason.
Do you have photos of this?
I have video. I posted it on my
Stop it.
Instagram.
Now you have to put it on Atomic Moms.
I'll put it on Atomic
Facebook.
Mom. I don't know if it's appropriate for Atomic Moms because it's like.
Who did he fight?
A brawl.
Naked woman?
No, he fought Jason. So Jason did 10 one-minute rounds against like different pro fighters. And then they peppered a couple like not pro fighters in the 10 rounds so that like he got a break. But Mike was like serious about it. He trained for.
He's really
a
fit
couple,
too.
You know, and he's done jiu-jitsu for a long time. He's like in that world. He loves the world of fighting and MMA. I've gotten more into it as my husband is into it, but I don't know. There's still a part of me that wrestles with the like, it's violence.
Yes. Okay. Did Maggie Moon love the lights of Vegas?
She loved the lights of Vegas, and she also loved her Nona. My mom was there.
So they got
it was awesome. To be honest with you, Mike and I really needed some time to be adults. We hadn't done that in a while. I mean, we try and get date nights. It's just so hard with our schedules because then when we have free time, like we just want to be with Magnolia,
right?
And So we had two nights, and also it was David Finn from Undateable, who was on our last week's podcast.
Yes, he and, British friend.
Yes, he and his wife met us there, and they hung out. It was really fun.
Cool. And if you guys haven't listened to our Undateable podcast, we put it up last week. We were in the top 10 again for kids and family on iTunes. Huge. So listen to the guys of Undateable talk with us. Like, find that in our archives on iTunes.
It's nice to get a guy's perspective on things, even from guys who aren't parents yet. Great.
They were talking about their moms. They were I mean, it was awesome. And then Rick Glassman told me that my highlights didn't look good, but he did it in a classic Rick Glassman way of saying, what's that new look, Ellie? It looks character-y. Like, I was like the waitress at a diner or something, which is great, except you know what I mean? Like, character-y, like you're the, you're like smoking Marlboros at the diner in West Virginia or something. I don't know. So then I had to get it fixed. So thanks, Rick Glassman. It looks better now.
It looks fantastic. Looks better. It does look better. I have to say, he was right.
He was right. Yeah. I know he was right.
Ugh. It's great, though.
So everyone needs that super honest comic in their life.
Yeah. Just sometimes.
You know, when it comes to your hair.
I'm with them daily on set, and I don't know if you need it all the time. But they're great guys, and we were so thankful to them for sharing their stories with us. I have a story to share. Before we went to Vegas, I had a little incident happen at work that I wanted to share because I feel like
this segment should have a title. It's like the dress incident.
The dress incident. The oh my gosh, I had a baby and my body has changed incident.
I think it's just like it's the dress's fault, but we'll explain.
Yeah, but I think the reason why I want to share, I'm going to set my intention first for sharing this, is that I feel like part of the problem is not enough women talk about having, you know, this feeling about themselves or their bodies. And so therefore it's like when it happens, you feel very alone. Like, I mean, seriously, it's not that big of a deal. And I realize there are more important things going on in the world, obviously, but
that should just be like the disclaimer on our podcast in general. So yes, we can stop saying it.
I agree.
Because
totally
I like to talk about the superficial stuff that upsets us. So,
well, and here's the thing, the daily stuff is the daily stuff.
Yes.
And like, you're right. We don't have to say every single time that we're aware that other stuff that is going on that's worse, because everyone knows that. But so anyway,
we're saying that for that one commenter that's going to be out there.
I know.
Anyway, okay. To the dress.
We got to stop letting fear rule, Ellie.
Yes.
So I had a dress up scene on Undateable, and I had to wear a dress, and I tried it on in wardrobe where the lighting might have been a little bit different, and then I wore it out in the scene, and then the next day, my husband Michael, who was also in the scene, he did a guest star.
So
he had taken pictures of me on set, and I saw them, and I started crying, which is so not me, because I'm not really ever that person. I've been really comfortable with my body for most of my life. I know certainly being in this business has made me a little more aware and self-conscious, because most women who are actresses are size zeros or size twos, and I'm a size six on a good day and eight sometimes. And I am considered a bigger girl in the world of movies and television. And that's hard for me, because sometimes I, you know, go in for things that I really, really want, and they will actually, I've actually gotten feedback that said, you know, she's a little bit bigger than what we're wanting, which is crazy. And I get that. The real world Bianca understands, and I have a very healthy attitude about it. However, you know, I think I was a little sensitive. I had gotten my first period in a year and a half since having Magnolia and since being pregnant, which was nuts. So I was a little more on the emotional side, but I saw these pictures and I was kind of in shock about how different my body looked than what it had previously in a decade of acting and being on camera. And I felt so much shame and so much like disappointment in myself. And then I had this moment where I was like, it was like a three-part thought almost. It was like the shame, disappointment, and then it was like, I just had a baby, and then it was, but it was already 10 months ago. And it made me realize how much the pressure has become, because we see so many people in the entertainment world, like, sick, you know, all the comments are always like, just 5 weeks after having a child, and
she
look
lost
at her,
70 pounds.
Yeah, or even like 5 months later, and she's in her back in her size two skirt, you know, and it's like this celebration of these amazing women and the fact that they've been able to get back, which is great for mm-hmm. them and fantastic for them. But that's not the story for all of us. And in fact, personally for me, you know, a lot of my friends have been like, they post the pictures of themselves and like the wonders of breastfeeding, and they're like back and yeah. even smaller than what they were before. And breastfeeding has not been that for me. It's yeah. actually been – it's made it harder for me to lose weight. I've actually held on to quite a bit of weight, and I'm okay with that. But I got in my head and I was like, if someone who's has a good attitude and a healthy outlook on it like me gets in my head about it, I can only imagine – where there's people who have more of a struggle with their self-image, hit a place where it just felt so – feeling disappointed in yourself and feeling like a slob. Because for – I know, and then it's harsh, but that's like what I felt for a little bit of it was, you know, I should have pulled it together by now. That's what the thought was that went through my head. And then I went home and I cried, and my husband was so sweet, and he was like, it's actually really funny because he did have a moment where he's like, well, you know, maybe ordering the Girl Scout cookies wasn't like your strongest moment. And we laughed because I knew he was making a joke about it. But the fact of the matter is that my daughter is 10 and a half months old. I work full time. I do side projects on top of working full time. Mm-hmm. These are not excuses. I'm not trying to, but it's the reality of life.
Right.
And then I even got mad at myself for that, because I'm like, I'm even justifying or trying to find a reason to feel better about why I haven't gotten back to where
I was.
Instead
of letting it be what
instead of letting it be and looking at the other side, which is I had a child. I created a life. I am now supporting that life, giving that life valuable nutrition, being with her as much as I can possibly. And the fact that I am not back to my, you know, skinniest is just silly to even think about. Like I think it speaks to the larger problem of the fact that we have made it that's what you should do, that the acceptable journey is to be back to where you were as fast as you possibly can. Like, that's the best case yeah. scenario, right? Instead of just saying like, you'll get there when you get there. And even if you don't ever get there, that's okay.
Mm-hmm. Because you're just going to get pregnant again. No, I'm just kidding.
But it's true.
I know.
It's true. And also, even if I was done having kids,
right.
it made me feel really good. I went online and I saw a comment from Iggy Azalea because did you hear about this whole thing with her?
No.
Apparently she's taking a break off of social media because she went on vacation in Hawaii.
Who is she? Is she a singer?
She's a singer. Okay. Yeah, she's a singer with a huge tuchus. She's
See, really I don't nice know anything round. About pop culture since Sabrina was born. So since September 11th, 2013,
what is she sing?
I have no
she
concept sing? Of pop culture.
What song does she sing? She sings that fancy song. Is that right? Yeah.
All I know is All That Bass and Taylor Swift's Shake It Off, because those are the two songs that I sing with Sabrina.
Oh,
and she
sweet.
Dances her little tuchus off.
Anyway, Iggy Azalea came back from vacation and there were photos of her on the beach with her buns hanging out of her two-piece, and she had cellulite. And she said, I'm going off of social media because I didn't realize that it was unrealistic to be a woman and have cellulite. And I love that, because that's what I think is the problem.
It's just too bad she has to get off social media, you know? Like, I get that she needs that break from it. It's just too bad that we can't just be like, yeah, this is it, and we're still here.
But I think that's such an amazing, you know, for her to admit that it bothers her, that she's going off of it because it's unhealthy to constantly showcase people either being the negative comment. And Mike said that he went online and he was like, the stuff people were saying about her was awful.
That's so stupid.
It's stupid. And it's
– and the people commenting should look in the mirror, because they're not perfect. And most of the people are probably like horribly
And then, but then you realize too, it's like our culture. Like in Europe, in certain places, if you were a voluptuous, curvy woman, mm-hmm. I mean, I used to love when I would go home to visit my dad's family because the women and their beautiful, curvaceous, cellulite-y bodies were celebrated. I mean, the curvier you were, the better. And you know, here it's like we've gotten to a place where the skinnier,
you're supposed to look
the
like grosser, a 14-year-old better. Girl.
Yeah. And if you're naturally that way, fantastic. I think it's on both sides probably. People who are too skinny are made well, to feel bad
you're
as like, well.
Yeah, because then you're flat, right? You don't have any curves. You're super flat. You don't have a chest.
Yeah.
Like there's all those issues.
Anyway, constantly. I just want to say out there to anybody who is feeling low about the way that you look and like you haven't gotten back to that place yet or maybe ever. The only advice I can give is like to really surround yourself with people who celebrate and love you just as you are, and also to just cut yourself some slack and find images and positive vibes, things that that uplift you and
wear things that make you feel better, right? So like, do you think when you go with the casting, I mean not with casting, with the
audition.
Costume department, like, will you go in there and say something to them? Because you didn't pick out the dress, but you
by the way,
it. Like,
let's not be ashamed to wear Spanx.
Right. Did you not wear them?
And I didn't wear them.
Okay.
Because I've never worn them.
I always wear them, and that's only because I don't like to flash. Like, it has nothing to do with anything other than I like having coverage.
Right. Or also, here's another side to the story, which might make people feel better too. I opened up to two of my boy castmates about it because I was also feeling embarrassed, like, I don't know. It was silly, but I just was like, did they see something and now do they think I'm a cow?
No. So sad.
But I know, but this is what goes through my head because I'm a crazy woman.
I know, but I get to go, no.
Exactly. And it was so funny because Rick Glassman, our honest comic in our life, I said I felt so bad the other night because like I saw a picture of myself and he's like, are you kidding? He's like, I just thought you looked all woman. Wow. And, you know, and I think that's the other thing to remember is a girlfriend of mine said, the guys don't care. They just want to see that the juice is in the box. And I loved that. I loved it. It was such a great way of like looking at like the men just want.
Juice is in the box. Yeah. It's also good for atomic moms.
It's good.
Oh, my God. Okay. Well, in
light of that,
I got a really great email from a listener. She lives in Chicago. She's expecting her first child. And here is her question. It's hilarious. Okay. She says she can't wear yoga pants for another day. How do you deal with clothing in the 5-month pregnancy range? Nothing fits right, and I feel like a tub of awkward in everything I own, but I'm not really showing enough to justify full-on maternity wear. I'm also in a depressingly cold winter climate, and it's been like straight sweater dresses over yoga pants here, and I'm bored of looking like I'm wearing a woven garbage bag. Any fashion advice would be much appreciated.
Oh, so she's 5 months pregnant.
Yeah. So my advice is be super pregnant in the summer. That's what I did. And it was great because I could just wear, like, you don't have to wear any. You can just, like, be naked with your big belly.
Yeah,
so since she isn't and she's in Chicago.
Right. you know, for me, because I was pregnant here, but I was actually 5-6 months, November, December. And I did go to Seattle, which was chilly. It wasn't as cold as Chicago is. But and I found something that was awesome was long skirts.
I wear a lot of maxi skirts.
Are you maxi skirts are great. You can wear tights under them. You could even wear your yoga pants if you feel like that will make you warmer.
Ooh, long johns under them.
But like there's so many cute looks these days with like maxi, heavier knit maxi skirts with boots and chunky sweaters. You can put like a cute hat on with it, even one of those like wide brim ones for the winter. I think I lived in skirts. And even like you could even if you don't want to spend the money and you know you're going to be pregnant when it's going to start to get warmer, you could get a maxi dress and put a sweater over that. And then you could wear that maxi dress later on too. There's some great I can't remember the brand that makes them, but stretchy, like cute.
I love Splendid. They're expensive.
Splendid,
but
yeah.
I'm obsessed.
I have to think what this one brand was. But I know there's a,
and I love Target. Like, just there's so many.
Yeah, Diane. There's a place here in LA, but I think they have a website called Diane's Beachwear, and they have really cute like stretchy dresses, maxi dresses, and you can. And I wear those during the. I even wear them now. I wear the same things that I wore when I was pregnant because they're so stretchy that they'll stretch with you and come back down to wherever you're at. So.
And everybody already knows about this, but like the belly bands were pretty great, and also just like investing in super large, super long tank tops to wear under everything was good.
Yeah,
for me.
Flow, and it's good. Flowy stuff is fun too, because that, if you're at that stage where you don't want to quite embrace the belly yet because it's not quite there, like flowy tops are always good, and you could pair those with do like a flowy top and then put a big chunky like cardigan over it. That's kind of cool, and then a scarf. Ooh, I kind of want it.
I'm sensing like another segment here. Bianca's little style pregnancy style corner.
We had another question on Facebook. Should we answer that now too?
And listeners, if you guys have questions, please send them to us.
We love it. It's
put
so,
it on the
it's
Facebook
so fun.
Wall. You can tweet us or Instagram at Atomic Moms.
So Thomas went onto our Atomic Moms Facebook page and said, he says, I'm planning on moving from New Jersey to the southern eastern part of Indiana in the near future, 3 to 6 months. I have 3 kids, 10, 7, and 4. What are your thoughts on moving your kids about 12 hours away from home, their friends, and et cetera? The hope is to have a better life, a more stable home life. I am currently suffering from severe anxiety and depression from environment work issues. A bigger house and a bigger yard so the kids can have farm animals and a garden and such. First of all, I'll move there with you. That sounds amazing. And my first reaction to that was that I think it's always better to be in a place where the parents can be the best that they can be. I think that if, you know, you're having some mental issues that are causing you to suffer, then your children are going to suffer from that as well, because you're not at your best. And if you can go somewhere where you're going to feel great and, you know, you can then be a better parent, I think that's awesome. And kids are great. I mean, kids always find new friends, new faces in new places. I mean, I think if they have a loving environment at home, then they can go out and kind of branch out. And it may be hard at first, but.
I agree. I think also, though, you've got to remember that wherever you go, you'll be there. So
that's very profound.
It's not, you know, the issues are environmental in New Jersey, and I totally understanding wanting more space and a different way of life. Because man, whenever we get to go up to Michigan in the summer, it's like I'm a whole new person. And if I could be there year round, if Michigan wasn't always under 20 feet of snow, I imagine that I would be a more chill parent. But you know, just make sure that you're not running away from your issues in New Jersey, because a lot of, you know, you might get to Indiana and then you're like, oh, after a little bit, you realize it isn't environmental. Like, I hope, you know, do the inside work too before you uproot your family.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like his work situation is causing, and that, and I get that. I mean, especially if you're not doing what you love. I mean, that's always, but you're totally right. I mean, I think it sounds like maybe he knows that, but if he doesn't, that's a very valid point. I know somebody in particular who's always kind of trying to escape to the next best place, and then they're, you know, dumbfounded why everything's the same, and it's just because they haven't really changed anything within themselves. So,
but kids are like, they're so resilient, so I'm sure that they'll find new friends and stuff. But I think it's awesome that you're taking the time to really figure it out, because it is a huge step. And I think it's awesome that you're even, you know, that you're considering your kids in the decision, because I think a lot of people don't. They just like yank up their families and they're not even thinking about that these children have created lives for themselves. And I think it's awesome that you're taking the time to figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah, good dad. And we love that we have a dad listener too.
Yeah, we love dad listeners.
And asking great questions. What did you do this weekend?
Oh, God, what did I do this weekend? Well, one really super exciting thing is that my husband's baby sister, Haley, is in town. And she's actually listening in on the podcast right now. Haley, you want to yell over?
Hi.
Perfect. Haley is visiting from Michigan. And so that's super been really great. They got to go to like a little Academy Awards party last night, and I stayed home with Sabrina, which was perfect and exactly what I wanted to do. And every time anyone clapped, in the Academy Awards, Sabrina would start clapping. Like, that was her favorite moment.
That's really cute.
That, and when the Lego song played, there was like that she went wild for that, which was really fun. Besides that, I've been kind of down because a friend from high school passed away, and it was very unexpected. And he was just 30 years old, and his name is Harris Whittles. And we went to high school together. We didn't see each other much in LA, but he was our first guest on a web series I did called Married, Single, Divorced. And I saw him last weekend at a wedding, the weekend before. Yeah. And then he died on Thursday.
That's crazy. So you saw him.
So I just saw him.
Yeah.
And at the wedding, we were talking, and I said, yeah, you know, I've got this mom podcast. And I was like, I'm trying to figure out when to share and what not to share and like how to not go through the shame spiral after sharing. And like, how do you just put your whole life out there? And he said to me, he had a, he did a podcast where he talked about his addiction. And it's about, it's an hour and 40. And right now I can't remember. It's the Nerdist. It's the Pete Holmes podcast. And you guys should listen to it if you have anyone in your life with addiction. and it's the Harris Whittles episode. And I had not listened to it when I was talking to him at the wedding, but I had heard about it because he talks about doing heroin. And he goes, so at the wedding, he's like, well, Ellie, you know, like, I'm sure you heard about what I went through. And you know, if I can talk about, you know, going to Skid Row to get heroin, like you can talk about whatever you want to talk about on your podcast. Like, it's okay. Like, you can share whatever you need to. And I don't remember his exact words. I wrote it down, but it was like a really meaningful moment because I've always admired people that can be that honest about their experiences and just sort of say, hey, this is my story. This is what's happened, and own it. And I actually, like, some other people came over, but I, you know, took them aside for a second and just said, you know, I'm so sorry you went through that, but thank you so much for sharing that with me. That means so much that you shared that with me. That was so it was like, that's so freaking cool of you. I think I said fucking. I can't even say freaking. Like, come on, Harris would be so annoyed. Like, it's so fucking cool of you to say that to me. And then, you know, 5 days later, they found him at his home. So the entire, you know, comedy world is grieving right now, and he had a lot of really close friends that are devastated, and he had wonderful he has wonderful parents, and he has a sister with a 1-year-old, and
oh my goodness.
And so my heart really goes out to his whole family and all his teachers and everyone he's touched along the way, because it's always, you know, devastating when a life is cut short like that.
Yeah.
And it just felt like such a shock. And it was weird too, because on Facebook and stuff, it's, you know, people, everyone's putting up all these photos of when he was like 14. And the other thing is, he was my huge high school crush. Oh. And I was so heartbroken because he did not want anything to do with me.
No.
And we would like practice kissing for plays and stuff. But he was such a player. Like, he was this little player. And I was so in love with him. And I was crying on the phone to my girlfriend, Allison, like, why doesn't he like me? Why doesn't he want me? And then I found out later that I think they were making out on the side.
Oh.
So anyway, so that's been
rough.
It's such a, you know, those moments are just so, it was just so weird. So I just try and focus on Sabrina and like being with her and just being like, okay, we're going outside. I said the weirdest thing the other day. I was like, okay, we're going to be in this reality. We're going to go outside and we're going to breathe fresh air. We're going to be in this reality, because I just, it's so easy to let your mind wander and let the sadness creep in, which is okay too. But it's hard when you're, you know, taking care of a 1.5-year-old, to, you don't want to be a bummer.
Yeah. And, you know, it's, I mean, we could go into a really, really deep conversation here.
And we need to do an episode with Mike and with an expert on
addiction,
especially for parents, like what to do if your child has addiction.
Well, listen, you know, it'd be great to have someone come in who could talk on, you know, Mike and I both genetically have it. We know that. Mm-hmm. Mike was a severe alcoholic and drug addict, and it runs in his family. It runs in my family. You know, it's like, I think about that all the time. I mean, I think Mike will have a far more kind of raw and open ability to talk to our kids about it because he went there and mm-hmm. he experienced it. You know, I mean, I think for a lot of people growing up, it's just like, don't drink, don't do drugs. And, you know, then it almost makes it even more enticing because it seems like it's cooler to do what your parents say not to do, right? Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I think that I think that underneath it all, though, it's what needs to be tended to is the reasons why people turn to drugs and alcohol. What is it? I mean, it's definitely escapism. It's definitely there's the addiction involved mm-hmm. in it. But, you know, we are a lot of us very lonely and very sad and very wounded. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to fix it with things that are not helping us. Mm-hmm. And I think a big part of it is we've become out of touch with the ideas of life and death. And, you know, it's as evidence when someone passes away. I mean, in Buddhism, there is this belief that because we are so attached to life, that is why we struggle so much with death. Mm-hmm. And that we don't really understand the concept of where we go and where we come from and where we go. And even if you're an extremely religious person, it's still kind of this, the finality of it and the fear of it. And, you know, there are cultures that celebrate death and talk about it from the very beginning. I think there's such a it's the elephant in the room, you know? Mm-hmm. And especially I think when you have kids, I was just talking actually this weekend when we were at that fight, the Ellis Mania, and my mom was literally in the hotel we were in, that the event was in. She was upstairs with my child, and I was like, I have to go up there and make sure she's okay. And David Finn's wife, Lauren, said, why? You know, she's your mother mm-hmm. raised three children. She's fine up there. And I said, I know, but like, I don't have the monitor to check in. I can't. Mm-hmm. And I started thinking about it. And I was realizing that like there, the percentages, the statistics of things that happen, you know, it's probably not going to happen to you. There are people that it happens to, but those awful things that you think about, and yet we go straight to the, it is going to happen to me. This is without my child, something horrible will happen to my child. Your mind goes there. Mm-hmm. And I realize like we live in this state of fear. And I think that that's perpetuated by the way that the media plays out.
Like, well, yeah, but it's also genetic or ancestral or whatever. Like, I mean, this is also about a matter of survival, right? So that's, it's in our DNA too. Like flight or fight response in this.
Yeah. But don't you think that like people, I mean,
yes, people come when in, I watch Fox News, I get acid reflux from the fear factor.
And I'm saying like our sisters that came across the plains with their kids and people died horrible deaths.
Right.
I mean, they had a much more realistic view about life and death. It happened, you know, I'm sure there was still great devastation, but we've gotten to a place where we are so made so fearful. And I read a book called, I will remember what I was going to say, but someone was saying on, I think either our Facebook or Instagram account that we need to start posting the books that we talk about.
Yep.
So people can read them, which we will do, you guys. We'll get on it. But there's a book called Free Range Kids. And it's this woman who, she put her 9-year-old on a subway in New York to go home to Jersey from mm-hmm. Bloomingdale's. And there was complete outrage. And she got basically like just completely annihilated by people saying, you're a horrible mother. So she wrote this book, Free Range Kids. It's really fascinating because she did some intense research. She actually paid a guy for a year to find out just if anyone in the United States had ever been poisoned by their Halloween candy. And do you know it's never happened?
No.
And that's like one of the
things
we're
always afraid of the razors. Yeah, because there's all these what's the other one that always freaks me out? Ugh.
What?
When the door... Like the idea that there's a baby crying at the door. You're not supposed to ever answer door because if a baby's crying at the door, really, it's a recording of a baby. And it's actually like some boogeyman who's going to like.
Crazy urban legend.
Yes. That one scares the shnikes out of me.
Yeah. And but also it's just that it's really interesting. I mean, just to read for the value of having kind of a different outlook on it, I think it's, you know, you don't have to agree with everything in it. But she did say that she interviews a producer of a huge news a news program who says that they're actually encouraged to use words when there is something that happens with a child that will include, it's every person's worst nightmare.
Of course. That's why we're going to watch. Our eyes are going to dilate. Yeah. Our hearts are going to pump.
But did you know that statistically?
And I'm we can eat Halloween candy. No.
Yeah. Well, yeah. First and foremost, which is the most important thing. But secondly, that statistically to have – to match the numbers for your child being abducted, you would have to leave your kid out 24/7 every day of the week for I think it's like 500,000 years. I mean, that's the reality of how many kids are actually
– Are you going to take that chance?
No. I mean, okay.
I have to ask you this because somebody out there – look, we are not telling you to leave your children in the front yard to play all night.
No, but listen, people get in horrible car accidents as we still get in our cars and drive, but you can't live your life in fear. That's...
No, but you can put your kid in the best safety rated car seat facing backwards until the appropriate time.
But then, of course, that, but I'm saying like as a driver, you get in your car and you drive your car, or a passenger, you get a passenger in the car. I'm not talking about kids in cars, but I'm saying in relation to our children, like are we coddling them? Are we preventing them from growing up and learning about life because we're so busy protecting them from everything that we're fearful of? That's my question.
It's a great question. I will think on it.
Okay.
I feel like I'm torn with it.
I'm totally respect that. It's a big question.
It's really I'm thinking about when Sabrina wants to play with kids down the street and stuff at dusk, and we live in LA, and you're like, oh God, or like, what are you doing?
I live
with
in
all
Venice.
This free time?
I mean, I walked out the other night and there was a man covered in blood stumbling down our sidewalk. I mean, look,
didn't you let a homeless man like kiss your baby? Wasn't that one of the
first easy?
Which one was it?
He touched her hand. It is a little
bit outside your house though, like because he was just like.
He was putting stuff in my recycling bin.
So, well, see, I remember, but not every This is why, listeners, you should listen to every single podcast we've done because they're just such nuggets of madness.
I am just as worried as anyone else. There's a fine line, I think, between overprotecting and, you know.
For sure. You can ruin your kid's life by overprotecting. Hello, I have an anxiety disorder. I'm not going to put that on my parents. It's probably genetic too. But It's unfortunate that a lot of people are raising their kids so that every new situation the kid goes into, they're scanning the environment for the danger.
Well, and now also it's so acceptable to sue for anything that there are so many people are so scared of liability that now like kids can't even go to the park and play a pickup game of softball. Like that's not, you can't do that because now
you definitely can't have a diving board in your like with a pool.
You can't?
Well, I'm just saying that. I remember growing up in Houston, a lot of people had pools because it's 110 degrees. And I just remember my dad always being like, you know, someone's going to slip on the diving board. We're going to get sued. Like, it's just a thing. You know what I mean? Like, it's.
Listen, when I was in.
Meanwhile, kids were jumping off the, you know, garages into the pool. I was never that kid. Not my pool, but like other.
Mike tells a story of growing up that there was some like, and they would go on vacation. There was some gross infested pond they used to swim in all the time that they found out had like some rusted gross pipe in the bottom that was like, I mean, I do think that our childhood and our definitely our parents' childhoods were much more open and free. And like, we're here, you know?
Yeah, but things have changed a little bit, don't you think?
I don't think so. No.
I don't think things have changed. You don't think that there's more crime? There's more.
No. Do you know that we're actually living in one of the most peaceful eras of entire.
There's more
entire
cars.
Earth?
Like.
Yeah. I just there feel is. Like... Well, yeah. And look, yeah, definitely accidents happen. But I don't think it's as. We're more aware of it because there is news 24/7.
Well, and also we're living. I agree with that. But we're also living in more urban areas than. Most of us were raised
but
in.
But crazy nutso crime, I feel like, happens.
Yeah, no,
have you ever watched
true.
Those
Houston,
Investigation ID, whatever that
no.
horrible channel as my husband watches all the time. And it's like,
no,
so
it made me nervous.
The smaller towns make me more nervous because that's where they're like hiding out, just waiting.
Yeah. Doing right. meth. God. This was like a crazy little river ride we just went down.
Yeah.
I mean, basically the moral is addiction is terrible and devastating. I want to get someone on to talk about, you know, give help to parents because I don't know if your child has an addiction. I don't know where, you know, well, I want to find the answers.
Like if it's like genetically, if you're genetically predisposed to.
No, like if Sabrina starts experimenting in high school
when she's older,
what do you do? And like how does it goes from pot to whatever. The other
why don't
thing,
we
you know,
get,
like
why don't we get Dr. Drew on here to talk
let's
about
do it. We got to do it because I'm so bummed out and I'm really – I feel so bad for his family. And I feel really bad for my friends that got married last weekend. I mean, it was one of Harris's best friends that got married and oh. and she's pregnant. And
well, I'm really
anyway,
sorry.
So into that to fear. So maybe – yeah, but we don't need to be as fearful about a lot of things.
Yeah, because we're I mean, it's listen.
Also like the thing about the subway really fast. Yes, that's terrifying. But then you put kids on planes all the time by themselves. I mean, I guess they've got a secure, you know.
Yeah, and you know what she did say. She said, "I know my child, and I know his ability to. He's smart. He knew, you know. And look, it's her." It goes hand in hand with kind of everything that we talk about on this podcast, which is that I think that if that was her choice and her decision and she trusted her child and she trusted the situation, that's her decision to make. I mean,
right.
you know, I don't know if it's in people then get, you know, on. The, I mean, oh my gosh, I have this friend on Instagram and she posts pictures and she's a lovely human being. She was in a terrible accident. She was in a plane crash and burned over 80% of her body. And she posts these amazing pictures of her and her five kids and people are awful there. They say like, I hope you're not planning on riding that bike without her helmet on properly. And it's like they nitpick at these pictures. I mean, our parents didn't have to deal with that. And, you know, it's like the.
But my kid will be wearing a helmet.
Of course.
We had a.
But I did not wear a helmet as a kid on my bike. I'll just say that.
I know. I didn't either. But then you have a family. We had a family member die of a head injury a couple of years ago. And you're like, okay, game over. That's going to be one of my new things.
And I don't think that's silly. I don't think that's crazy. I think that's probably being a very safe person and a smart, safe person. But it's just, where do you draw the line? Where do you draw the line where we start to get so crazy? Because like the things that we did as kids, I mean,
pause for a second.
We'll take a little break and then we'll come back to finish up.
Hey guys, we're back. We had to take a quick break for the mailman. anyway, here's my thing. You talk about statistics about how nothing bad is going to happen. It's like so rare,
well,
right?
I mean,
okay, statistically speaking. But here's the thing. If I'm going to put a positive spin on my paranoia, it's just because I think I'm that special.
Oh my God, Ellie. That's taking it to a new level.
Well, you know, I did have a 1 in a million tumor. So, I mean, statistically speaking,
but hey, I have to say, like, if more people started thinking that way, at least it's a positive way at looking at things. You know, I mean, you're totally right.
Bianca's head just exploded.
It totally did.
And then my other point that I will beautifully make is, you know, we're also being so crazy about chemicals and about food, right? So it's sort of like our version of freaking out about, like, we don't really understand maybe like why people don't let their kids go on bikes around the neighborhood anymore and stuff. But our sort of hippy dippy version of that is like this fear of sulfates and
except
preservatives and all that stuff.
Right.
When most people can eat that stuff and it doesn't negatively affect them. Again, I'm very special and I grew a massive tumor, which may or may not. No, it had nothing to do with eating McDonald's growing up. But you know what I mean? Like that fear.
Ellie, now McDonald's won't sponsor our podcast.
I know. Bummer. Because they were really in the running. But, you know, I can't pick. You know, you pick out paint. It's got to be like low VOC. You've got, you know, we just did.
Well, right. Here's my answer to that. Or here's my view on that, I would say. I realize, like, I can clean this house of, you know, BPA, you know, pesticides in our food as much as I possibly can. But that couch behind you is probably has so laden with fire retardant.
I know. Isn't it stuff. Crazy?
You can't escape it. And we're not going to be able to escape it. We can try and live.
No, but you think about that all the time. It's like, oh, my God.
I do,
too.
Even
like Tempur-Pedic mattresses. That's a thing.
But here's the thing. You can do it as much as you want in your home. She's still going to go out into the world and encounter it on a daily, hourly basis.
Oh, my God. Did you know that the sandboxes?
Oh, my God.
Sand isn't natural in these sandboxes.
What is it?
It's like made of this other crap.
Okay, but this is my
point.
And
I'm telling you that they're inhaling it. So this is where we could do a whole podcast about my paranoia of like...
Right. And I think what we all need to look at is, are we becoming so neurotic that we are taking away from our children's joy of life because
yes.
we're so worried about everything that's going to get to them? Because here's yes. the deal. It's going to get to them if it's not in our house. It's when they go out. You can't. We're not the bubble
Think
boy.
About their school.
Absolutely. And, you know, and the best you can do, because you started to
They like
ask
microwave
about,
food on like plastic
I
at
know.
These little preschools.
Everywhere. But I think the thing that you could, for me, the most important thing.
I'm moving
thing,
to Vermont. Sorry. Most important. I'm spiraling. Bianca, hold my hand. Get me through this moment. Well,
let me ask you, what isn't in Vermont that is?
Microwaves. I use microwaves every day. Oh, God.
We do not have a microwave.
See? Look, she just looked down on me. Bianca just like got a little taller when she said that to me. Well, no. You know what? A lot of Atomic Moms have microwaves.
No, but
that's why we're atomic, because we're glowing.
It's 100% true. We've been eating God. Microwave dinners. I mean, we used to have that so much as kids. But here's what my plan is, okay? And I probably won't stick to it as much as
But I thought your New Year's resolution was not having like plans anymore.
Well, no, not having New Year's resolutions.
Okay, right.
But my approach yes. to things with Magnolia is I want Magnolia to have her own mind. I want her to make decisions. If Magnolia decides that she wants to eat Carl's Jr. every day for the rest of her life, at some point in her life, she can do that, and there's nothing I can do about it. I'm sure my mom would prefer that I still go to Mass every Sunday. I mean, they're going to become their own people.
Yes.
So the only thing that I can do is – she can have McDonald's if she absolutely wants mm-hmm. to have it, but I promise you I will be cooking foods with her in the kitchen and explaining to her why we eat this, why it's important,
yeah.
why
– And Sabrina will be coming over for those lectures too.
You're not doing it in your house.
No, I'll just eat your food and let Sabrina learn from you.
But it's the best we can do. The best we can do is teach them what we think. We cannot impose our ideas upon them. We cannot impose our beliefs upon them. We can only tell them what we know and hope that they choose for themselves in the best way that gives them the most joy and peace in their life.
And last resort is always shame.
On that note, do you have a mom session?
Yes. Oh, my God. I have a mom session. It's plastic. It is okay. So when Rick Glassman said that my hair looked so white trash,
right.
and I went back to put chemicals in it to fix it, to make it look more natural, put even more chemicals in it, my hair was – I've been really bad about brushing my hair.
I could tell.
I know right now. Well, 'cause I got nervous, so I've been like running my hands through my hair for the past hour. But – I've been getting a lot of knots, and Sabrina has a mane of hair, and she gets so many knots. And this hairdresser's assistant was like, "Do you know about the wet brush?" And I was like, "No." And I was imagining like water coming out of a brush, and it's not that at all. It's just called the wet brush, and it's a detangling hairbrush. I got it on Amazon for like $10, and it doesn't hurt at all.
Oh.
And it goes all the way through her hair. And then the best part is when it goes through her hair at the bottom, she's got all these curls, and it kind of keeps the curls intact.
Really?
Instead of like turning them into like
What's
frizz.
It called again?
It's called the wet brush.
The wet brush.
That's my mom's session.
A little dirty.
Well, there's a wet brush for down there. Well, that could be another. That'd be more popular in the 1970s, I think. Okay, bring us back.
My mom bomb today, I don't know who said it, but it's very appropriate now. It's funny how our mom bombs always work out, right? Like they kind of end up speaking to whatever we ended up talking about. She who jumps into the void owes no explanation to those who stand and watch. Which
repeat it again.
She who jumps into the void owes no explanation to those who stand and watch. So you could take that on a very, very deep level of when you're going to go and take on your adventures and journeys in your life and make your choices. But on a parenting level, do you do the best that you know how to do for your kids and tell everyone else to shut the fuck up? Amen.
Amen.
Trust in your goodness.
Live out your greatness.
And rock on, Atomic
Moms.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.
A few days ago, Brooke Tudine posted an inspirational quote on her wall that got 17 likes and 3 comments. Thumbs up, Brooke. Geico also wants to make a comment. In just 15 minutes, you could save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance by switching to Geico. And nothing says inspiration better than saving money. Well, except for those posters that say things like teamwork, excellence, and make it happen. Hashtag keep climbing. Hashtag savings.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.